is such a privilege to sing together with you. I don't often, most of you know, it's been a little while since I've gotten to sing with you. And just to be able to worship and to sing to our God together, it brings so much joy. And so thank you for singing and worshiping with me together this morning. Take your Bibles, if you're not already there this morning, and turn to Colossians chapter 1. And I especially love that last song that we sang. How many of you were extremely familiar with that song? Can I see your hands? Were you extremely familiar with that song? Just a couple of you. Well, we sang really good for only a few. But no, did you just hear some of those words that we were singing together? My worth is not in what I own. How true that is, and how true that always needs to be. That our worth is not in what we have. Our worth is not, we don't find our worth in what we have. Scripture tells us, I believe it's in 1 Timothy, that God gives us all things to enjoy. And so there's nothing wrong with that, to enjoy what God has made available to us. And I understand from talking to some of you, I understand that includes closets full of shoes for some of you. That includes sushi for some of you, which I don't understand. But if you enjoy that, more power to you, I reckon. But there's nothing wrong with enjoying things that God has made available to us. But that is never where we find our worth. And that is not what brings worth to us. And did you notice the chorus? How does it go again? I will trust in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. And He indeed is the greatest treasure. Whether you're in this building right now and you have Him or not, that does not change the truth of those words right there. That He is the greatest treasure that the world has and that creation has. And that really does tie into, I'm so happy, that really does tie into where we're going to go this morning a little bit as we look at God's Word. In fact, I'll just give you a spoiler alert here real quick. Look down in your copy of Scripture. And look at verse number 2, about halfway through. We're going to talk a little bit about this morning, where one thing that the Apostle Paul desires, and God directed him to write to the church of Colossae and Laodicea, and now to us, First Baptist Church. One of the things that he directed him to write to them was really number one, that you're mature in Christ, and part of that has to do with, look down there at your copy of Scripture, the middle of verse 2, it says, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. The riches, the treasures, which are Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. And so so thank you for just worshiping with me with that song in particular today. As I have been, as Pastor Scheip told me that I was going to have the privilege to speak today, as I was wrestling with what passage of Scripture to bring this morning, honestly, just as I prayed, just as I listened, the Lord really directed me to the book of Colossians. I believe that with all my heart. And as I read the whole book and then really kind of zeroed in on some verses, the thing that kept jumping out at me is just this teaching of this biblical principle of knowing Christ. Knowing Him. And whenever I say know that, the Scriptures talk about that as knowing Him beyond salvation. Oh, that's a... Salvation is where that relationship begins, obviously. We can't, we are not going to minimize that at all. That is where it begins and where this relationship of knowing Him starts. And I'll say this just as we get going here. In this room, I realize there are some of you sitting in this room that I at this point don't know extremely well. There are a lot of you who I do know extremely well, and I think you're thankful for that. But there are some of you that I do not know extremely well, and so let me say this. As we start to talk about knowing Jesus and knowing Christ in an intimate way and in a deep way, has there ever been a time in your life where you, for the first time, began that relationship, where you came to know Him as your Savior? You know, it blows me away every time I think about it, that He gave us the privilege of realizing that we are not good people. We're not good people. I like to think I am, but I'm not. We are not good people. The Scripture says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not good people. We are sinners. And because of that, if we got what we deserve because we're sinners, we would die and we would be forever separated from God, because He cannot allow sin into His before Him and into His heaven. And what's absolutely, whenever you really stop to think about this, what absolutely blows me and you away is how He chose to save us. Number one, He loves us. He loves us, and that's what drove Him to do what He did. He actually stepped out of heaven and was born into this world on Christmas Day. Became a human being. That alone should startle us, just that the Creator of all things became like His creation in some aspect. I mean, what more humility can you ask for with something like that? And then He lived a perfect life and became the only one who was able to take care of the penalty of our sin. That's exactly what He did. He came to die, to pay our sin penalty. And He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross, and He died, paying the penalty for your sin and for my sin. And Scripture says that He rose again on the third day, and anyone who repents of their sin and turns to Him and puts their faith, trust, and belief in Jesus and what He did for you and for me on the cross, where He paid the penalty for our sins, Scripture says that He will save you. And He will save you. And that's an amazing thought. And you will become one of His. He will, where you're His child, and He knows you and you know Him. Scripture tells us in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." So do you know Him is the first question this morning. Do you know Him in that way? Have you started that relationship? And just, if you don't, if you come here week after week and you know in your heart of hearts that you struggle with that, and I'll be honest with you, you're not alone. I struggled with it for years in my life, where I finally had to admit that I really did not know. And to get that nailed down and to go and have a real good talk with the Lord about that and get that squared away. But there's nothing that myself or other men in this church would love more than to be able to sit with you and open up God's Word, the Bible, and to show you how He will save you as well. And so don't leave here without that. Don't leave here without talking to somebody if you're not sure about that. But that brings us to our passage today, and like I say, as I read the book of Colossians, This idea of just knowing God, knowing Him, being mature in Him, and that's the idea there of really knowing Him, not just as your Savior, but that you're developing day by day a close relationship with Him, where you know Him, and where the knowledge of Him is just where you're learning more and more and more about Him, and it's a full knowledge that the Bible calls it. And you're getting to know Him, and you're learning to trust Him, and you're learning to worship Him more and more and more. And that's the idea here of knowing Him and knowing Him intimately. Do you know Him like this? Do you spend time with Him like this? Where you're listening to Him, learning from Him, getting to know Him more and more all the time. The Apostle Paul talks about this again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13, where the Bible says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the idea. To know Him. To become mature in Him. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted for all believers, but in particular for this church, for the church of Colossae and Laodicea. This is what I want for you. This is what God directed him to write to them. And we see really quick that it doesn't take long as you read Colossians chapter 1. How many of you have read the book of Colossians all the way through? Let me see your hands. Most of us, thank you very much. So you're with me already, okay? It doesn't take very long to see that the believers in the church of Colossae did know the Lord Jesus. And they were doing well. And the Apostle Paul reveals that early on in chapter 1, where he says that a good report had been brought to him by a man named Epaphras about this church, the church in Colossae. A good report had been brought to him. They were doing well. And as I read what the Bible said there, that kind of hit me a little funny. Where I was like, man, this church was actually being reported on. I mean, you get that? Does that make you feel weird at all? It kind of made me feel weird. But it was a good report. It was a good report. And that should make you feel good. I mean, it's kind of like me way back in the day when my teacher at school would send a report home about me to my parents, and it was a good one. I mean, you couldn't wait to get home. You go running in the door. Ha ha! I got something for you, and it was good. It was really good. And the Apostle Paul is just overjoyed with the report he gets. Just like my mom used to be overjoyed with the reports she'd get about me. Probably because there had been so many not good reports. You can ask her. She surprised me, and she's sitting right here today, which is why I'm really, really watching what I'm saying right now. And, you know, oh, you're such a wonderful son. And I'm like, thanks. Want to go for ice cream? Anyway. And the Apostle Paul is overjoyed with the report he gets about this church from this guy named Epaphras, who appears to be one of the elders in the church. One of the leaders, spiritual leaders. And as he gets this report, he admits, you're doing well. You're standing firm in your faith. You're following after the Lord Jesus. This is what you're doing. Oh, I'm so happy to hear this. Is this what let's bring it here to us? Is this what, as a body, First Baptist Church is doing? Individually, is this what you this is what the Apostle Paul was concerned about? We get concerned about all kinds of stuff. This is what God directed the Apostle Paul to be concerned about for this church. And I'm so glad that you're doing well. But even though they were doing well, it's very interesting as we think about this idea of knowing Christ and knowing Him intimately. God still directs the Apostle Paul to write to them and give them some really good and really deep teaching of Jesus in chapter 1. He says, you're doing well, but let me help you. Let me help you. Let me give you something so that your knowledge can be deepened and so your relationship with Christ can be deepened. In fact, look down with me. Actually, it reminded me of what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 1, where in Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible tells us, let the wise hear and increase in understanding. In other words, listen, yes, you're doing well, and I am so happy that you're doing well and that you're following after the Lord, but don't ever think that you are done getting to know Christ. Don't ever think that. Don't ever be so proud as to think that you've come that far. This is a lifelong endeavor of knowing Him and getting to know Him deeper and deeper all of the time. And here's what He teaches them in verses 15 through 20 of chapter 1. Follow along with me. And let this sink into you and I for a minute, okay? Follow along with me, starting in verse 15. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. This is Jesus. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And so the Apostle Paul is like, look at this. Look at this. Know Him better. Know Him. Let me help you know Him. Yes, you're doing well. Let me help you. Let me bring you along here. Know Him. Now, because you know more things, now because your knowledge of Him has increased, you can praise Him for these things. You can worship Him for these things. You can acknowledge Him for these things. You have learned these things about Him. Your relationship is deeper. This is where you go all the time, all the time, all the time. Jesus is the all-sufficient One. This is where it is. And He says, I want you to know Him. I want you to know Him. Now, the Apostle Paul, here's what we gather from this right away, that the Apostle Paul was obviously very involved with teaching others and helping others develop in knowing their Savior more. Very involved with that. Meant a lot to him. God had him record it. Let me ask you something. As a church and individually, are you concerned with being involved in helping other people know Jesus better? Are you concerned with that? Are you involved with that? Let me rephrase and say, is there anybody in your life who knows Jesus a little bit better because God has put you in their life? One example comes to my mind immediately because I'm a parent, and there's lots of parents in this room. Are you, as parents, involved in teaching your children about Jesus? Is this a priority to you? Are you involved with that? I have not been perfect at this. But I can honestly tell you this, that teaching your children about Jesus is awesome. It really is. It's really one of the most wonderful things that when you try it, you can't get enough of it. You really can't. So much joy is just overflowing in you as you do that. And especially as you see your children grasping, starting to grasp what you're teaching them as you're doing your best to increase their knowledge of their Savior and help them to know Him better. And it's amazing what comes out of their mouths. They tell you in the most crazy kind of way. It almost makes it worth it, just that by itself. One example I'll give you, this happened just the other week. You all know my son Grant, little fella with the really light blonde hair that runs around here getting into all kinds of trouble. His mother and I, we always had trouble getting him to get in water. He just didn't want to do it. Whether we were in the lake or whether we were at a pool or wherever we were. He just never wanted to. He's one of those kids, you've seen kids do this, right? They just can't do it. Just cannot do it. And his mom and I were trying to work with him. Hey, you need to learn to swim, all that stuff. And then just the other week, he just whoop, just jumped in. Splash. It's like, where'd he go? He's usually standing here. And he's in. And I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't even really tell his mom I was kind of, surprised, but I was kind of whatever. And I came out that same day from around the garage, and he comes running up to me. He wants to tell me something. And you know how it is when your son wants to tell you something? And he's all excited, and he comes up, he goes, Dad, I want to tell you something. Can I tell you something? And I said, yeah, what do you want to tell me? And he said, you know how I jumped in the water today? I said, yeah, yeah. And he said, you know why I did that? And I said, no. But I think you're going to tell me. And he said, and I rode this wave the rest of the day. He said, I just thought to myself, and it was super simple. He said, I just thought to myself, God will help me. Oh, yeah. And then he ran away. That's like that's all he had to say to me. Not thanks, Dad, for teaching me that. Just he took off. And I'll be honest, I rode that wave for the rest of the day. Now, that may not sound like profound, but it was to me. Because let me ask us this. Does Scripture tell us that come before my throne and find grace to help in your time of need? And I thought I'm just so happy that he's starting to grasp some things, some simple things. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see that. And please help that to continue. Are we concerned with being involved in people's lives so that their knowledge of their Savior increases, so that they know Him better all of the time, so that they're developing that intimate relationship that He wants us to have with Him? Can you believe He wants us to have that with Him? This full knowledge. Greek word epignosis. Full knowledge of Him. Deep relationship. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so that's what he wants. And now to transition into our text for today. This is where the Apostle Paul is going to take this. You and I have heard this so many times in our lifetime. I have, you have. That we live in an age of information. You've heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that. We live in an age of information. Did you know that according to what the Apostle Paul records here for us, almost 2,000 years ago, he thought the exact same thing. He thought the exact same thing. He's going to tell this church of Colossae and Laodicea that there is information out there. This is very important to me. It's very, very important to me that you are knowing Jesus, that you are getting to know Him deeper and deeper in an intimate way, that you are growing in your relationship with Him, following Him, walking with Him, obeying Him as you go through this life. And one of the biggest reasons is this, because there is so much information out there and a lot of it is not true, but it is going to come to you. It is going to come to you. And there's only, and when it comes to you, I do not want you to be taken captive by it. I don't want your faith shaken by it. How is that not going to happen? How is that not going to happen? And the answer is this. I'm going to give it to you. The answer is this. You will not have your faith shaken. You will not be taken captive by it. You will not be deceived by all this deceitful information that is going to come your way. That will not happen to you if you know Jesus. And not just as your Savior, but that you know Him far beyond that. And you are intimate with Him. And you have a great knowledge of Him as you worship and walk with Him. That is how that will not happen to you. So come with me and look down in your Bibles. Let's go to the Word. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28, beginning in verse number 28. The Bible says, Him, that is Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that He powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying, I have a goal for God's church. I have a goal for God's people. Okay? And that goal is to present them in Laodicea, the church there, in Colossae, the church there, the churches all around, and the church of First Baptist Church here today. My goal is to present everyone as mature in Christ. That's my goal. Isn't it obvious that the Apostle Paul had a great love for God's people? He had a great love for God's people. And his love for God's people drove him to work hard. To work hard to that end. To work hard at helping people mature in Christ. As we just read in Ephesians chapter 4, what is that? That is that's the growing in the knowledge of Jesus. Maturing in Christ. Paul says, that's my goal for you because I love you. I love you so much. As I was looking at this week and thinking about everybody, I just thought, as I read that, this thought hit me, and I just thought I would quickly share it because I think it's appropriate. One of the things that I love about our senior pastor, Pastor Greg, and I have seen it over and over and over again in his life, is he loves you. He loves the body of Christ. He loves you. There have been so many times I've lost count how many times he has pulled me aside in the hallway and said, hey, will you help me? Will you help me pray for so-and-so? They're going through a difficult time. A lot of times he doesn't share with me what's going on. He just says, so-and-so is going through a difficult time. I need your help. Will you pray? Will you help me pray for this person? I've lost track of how many times he has done that to me on your behalf. When somebody in this church family, part of this body, is struggling in their walk with God, struggling obeying, struggling walking with Him, I have seen it bother Him so much. I have seen Him just struggling over that and wanting that relationship back for that person. Wanting that person to mature in Christ. He loves you. That's one of the things I appreciate about it. And I love you too. And so does Pastor Patrick. And so does Gary Gillette. And so do so many other men in this church who are godly leaders. And we appreciate them. We appreciate them so much. But the Apostle Paul loves God's church. And because he loves them, he has goals for them. And the main goal being that I want you to become mature in Christ, to present you that way. That's my main goal. And because that's my main goal, I have some other goals that I want to see happen to you that will help that, that will enhance that. You ever notice that whenever you love somebody, you have goals for them? Parents, do you have goals for your children? Why do you have goals for your children? You don't know? Why do you have goals for your children? You have to move your lips to talk to me, okay? Why do you have goals for your children? Because you love them, don't you? Children, you need to hear that. That's why your parents have goals for you, because they love you. When they ask you to clean your room and become a responsible person, you know why? It's because they love you. You got that? And lots of other reasons. But this is what pushes the Apostle Paul. He loves these people. He loves the church. He loves the body of believers. And because of that, he's motivated to have some goals for them. Now, these goals that we're going to look at here are marks of a church family, of a body of believers who is mature and becoming more mature all the time in Jesus, who are knowing him and getting to know him, that full knowledge and that walking with him. These are the marks of a church family and individuals who are becoming mature, a mature church. So let's look at them together. This is what God directed the Apostle Paul to write. He says, verse number one, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face." He probably hadn't even met these people. And the first one is that their hearts may be encouraged. That their hearts may be encouraged. When's the last time you had your heart encouraged? The word encourage here is from the Greek word parakaleo. It's the same Greek word used for the Holy Spirit. You've heard that probably said before, the paraclete, the encourager, the helper, the comforter, one who comes alongside to help. Whenever you are facing discouraging times, this is the mark of a mature believer and a mature body of believers. Whenever you are facing discouraging times, do you go to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to bring you encouragement? Do you have that kind of relationship with God, where that's your first reaction whenever you are in a discouraging time? Who do you go to? Do you go to Him for encouragement? Are you mature that way? Are we a mature body of believers who have that kind of relationship with God? Where do you go to Him? How do you go to Him? You go to His Word. This is where it is. Do you go to the book of Philippians? I'll just throw out a couple of examples. Do you go to the book of Philippians, the book of outrageous, contagious joy, the director of the Wilds of New England would say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How do I do that? How do I get there? He goes into that in the book of Philippians. Do you go to Psalm chapter 23 and just let God's words comfort you there? Do you go to Romans chapter 5 through chapter number 8 and do you just pour over all of these things that you did not have, that God did not give you before you became one of His? You had no access to certain things. He had not given you certain things until you came to Him and accepted Him as your Savior and came to know Him that way. And now He gives you all kinds of things because you're in that relationship. Romans 5 through 8. Do you allow Him, do you allow the Holy Spirit to bring your heart encouragement? Paul says, this is a mature church. This is what I want for you. That this is what you would do. That this is the kind of people you would be. But now we read in Scripture that it's just not the Holy Spirit. It's also the body of believers bringing encouragement to each other. And we read about this in different places of Scripture, but let me just read us one very familiar passage in Hebrews chapter 10. And the passage is verses 24 through 25. The Scripture says, we have all heard this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Same word. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When's the last time you had your heart encouraged by another believer? When's the last time you went to another believer to encourage their heart? Please don't tell me that you don't have the gift of encouragement, because I'm sorry. According to this passage, that excuse just doesn't go anywhere. Are we need to be in the business, all of us, of encouraging each other's hearts. You say, how do I do that? How do I do that? I believe you find out, just some examples, you find out about a physical need that somebody has. And you go and you meet that need, as Scripture tells us to do in the body of Christ. What an encouragement that can be to somebody's heart. I'll tell you what was really encouraging to me just this morning was Pastor Patrick knew that I was nervous, because I'm always nervous about standing up here and preaching God's Word. He came, sat down with me, said, could I just pray with you? Could I just help get your eyes back on the Lord and know that He is here, as your son Grant figured out, He is here to help you. Can I help you that way? Let me pray for you. What an encouragement that was. Hey, do you have that kind of relationship, not just with God, but with one another? That whenever you see somebody discouraged, can you go to them and say, can I just help you? Can we stop right? I know you're going through a rough time. Can I just pray for you right now? I'm just going to ask the Lord to help you. Like, I'm not going to belabor this. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm not going to get in your way for very long. Can I just pray for you? Do you seek that out as a body of believers? Paul says, this is a mark of a mature. This is what I want. I want you to be mature in Christ. And this is one of the tall tale signs of this. You have this relationship with the Lord and with one another. And then we come to the second one. Second sign of a mature church, of what God wants, as we walk in Him and as we know Him. Second one, look with me. First, number one and two. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, here it is, being knit together in love. Second thing that I want for you as a church is that I want you to be knit together in love. I want you to be a loving people. Loving people. Are you a loving people? And that word knit together carries the idea of being united. This is what will unite the church of God. That they love. They're a loving people. This is someone who is mature in Christ. They're a loving people. We can be different on all kinds of other scales. And we are different on all kinds of other scales. In fact, do this, just because it'll be fun. Turn to the person, not next to you, turn to the person either behind you or in front of you and say to them, you are different. Some of you have been waiting to do that for a very long time. And there's your opportunity. And we are different. We are different, aren't we? We are different. There are people all over this that are part of this church family that we are sitting together with in this building, who come from all kinds of different backgrounds. and who come from all kinds of different dynamic, of different family dynamics. And families function differently. And we're used to different things. We're used to, we're here together and we have differences in our preferences of all things. We have differences in our in what we like. We have differences in what we dislike. We are different in how we look. In fact, I'd say my campsite's coming out a little bit. Do this. Turn to that same person. Okay? Maybe turn to a different person if you made him upset. Repeat after me. Are you ready? Say this to them. Ready? Say, I am so happy. Say, I am so excited. Say, I am so pumped that I don't look like you. We do look different. None of you look like me, and I know you're excited about that. We are different in all kinds of things. But the Apostle Paul, what God's directing him to point out is he's saying, yes, you can be different in all things. There is one thing you must not be different in. This is what will bind you together as a church. What will unify you is that you love. That you have a character and a heart of love. Jesus was asked, what is the first and greatest commandment? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and... Do you love God above all else? What is it to love? We talk about this quite a bit. What is it to love? Love is an idea and an action invented and designed by God that simply says, I will give of myself sacrificially to you in whatever way you need me to. No matter how much the sacrifice hurts, no matter how difficult it is, it doesn't matter. I will do it if it is what is best and in the best interest of you. I will give up things for you. Do we as a church family, are we willing in our hearts to give up things for the glory of God? What's the next one? He said, and the second is like unto it. What did he say? Shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, and do you love one another? What am I willing to give up to sacrifice for you? And that looks different in so many different circumstances. Are we a loving church? The Apostle Paul said, this is a mark of a mature church. This is what I want for you. As you grow in your relationship with Christ, as you know Him and are changed by Him and conformed into the image of Christ, this is what you look like as a church. This is what I want for you. Being knit together in love. The last one is this. For God's people to be wealthy in Christ. For God's people to be wealthy in Christ. And I'm keeping a really close eye on our time here. We need to wrap up here in a couple minutes. But look with me in verses 2 and 3. And this is the one, by the way, that has spoken to my heart so much. Verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all of the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How many of you have a favorite movie? Your movie watcher? Hands up, don't be shy. Thank you. How many of you have a favorite Christmas movie? How many of you watch Christmas movies all year long? Will, don't you ever make fun of this kid. That's awesome, buddy. I have a favorite Christmas movie. It's not even a Christmas movie. It just has that like Christmassy feel to it, so that's when I watch it. How many of you have ever seen or heard of the movie called The Ultimate Gift? Hands up. You've heard of it, at least. I love that movie. My wife hates it and refuses to watch it with me, which I think is so unfair because I watch her movies with her all the time. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with it. It comes along with being married. I'll just say this. The movie is all I'm going to give you. The movie is about a rich guy, and that's all I'm going to give you because I want you to go watch it and then tell my wife what a wonderful movie it was. But there's this scene in the movie where this rich guy is sitting in a very, very fancy restaurant, and he comes, and the waiter, excuse me, comes to him and says, "I'm sorry, sir, your credit card got declined." And this guy's rich beyond measure. And he looks at the waiter and goes, "That is impossible. My credit card has no limit whatsoever." Okay, I'm going to stop there because that's the only thing that pertains to what we're talking about here. However, I did think to myself whenever I saw that, I thought, man, I have no idea what it's like to have a credit card with no limit, but I would love to find out what that's like. Is physical money here what the Apostle Paul is talking about whenever he says treasures and riches? Is he talking about money? Yes or no? Obviously not, right? Obviously not. He is talking about, really, for lack of a better way to say it, spiritual riches. Spiritual treasures. What are they? Or let me rephrase that. What is it? And he tells us, and this is it. This is where I've been excited to get to today. As we talk about knowing Jesus Christ, as we talk about knowing God and having that deep, intimate relationship with Him, look at what he says again. To reach all the riches of full assurance or complete confidence, of understanding or insight, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is, say it with me, Christ, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Church family, the answer to having insight and understanding and wisdom and knowledge, whenever it comes to wisdom of all kinds, of regarding the origin of the universe and how it is set up to work and how the universe is designed to function and our human role in it and the wisdom, what is wisdom and what is wisdom to live life appropriately in this world and how to make good decisions and what are good decisions and who is God and what is right and what is wrong and how does God look at us? How does God view us? What is our relationship to Him? How does He view you right now? All of these things. What is our future? What is our future in this world? All of these questions of life, all of the wisdom, all of the understanding, all of the insight, it is all found in a person. It is all found in the person of Jesus Christ. What does Proverbs tell us? You know this verse very well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the what? Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So as you put all these scriptures together, what the Apostle Paul is wanting this church to realize and to grasp hold of is Christ is sufficient in all things. In the wisdom, in the knowledge, in the insight, in the understanding. You find all of the riches of these things and all of the treasures of these things wrapped up in one person and one person alone. And that person is the person of Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? How do you know Him? Do you have your nose buried right here in reading and study of His Word that He left for you and for me? Do we understand how unbelievably priceless this is? Do we read it? Do we study what He says? For in Him are all of the riches of wisdom and knowledge. The Apostle Paul, in closing, he gives the reason why he says these things to the church. Look in verse 4 with me. He says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Let's come back to where we started. The Apostle Paul says, just like we say, we live in a world of information. And that and some of that information, a lot of that information is not true. But it's going to come to you. I don't want you to be carried away with it. I don't want you to be deceived by it. Because some of the arguments are going to sound really good. They're going to sound plausible. They're going to sound reasonable. How do I keep my faith from being shaken? You keep them from being shaken because you know your Savior. And you know Him intimately. And your understanding and knowledge of Him is growing. And you're walking with Him, being taught by Him, spending time with Him, worshiping Him, learning from Him. It is all in Him. That is how your faith is not shaken. That is how our faith is not shaken. Do you know Him? When a reasonable argument comes along, can your antennas go up and say, wait, that's actually not what Jesus is saying. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what His Word teaches. Are you that far in our relationship with Him? The Apostle Paul says, this is what I want for you. This is what I want for the body of Christ. That they be mature in Christ. In relationship. Encourage your heart through Him. Love Him as He first loved you. Love the body. And find all things in Him. This is a mature church of God. Verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, and I rejoice, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. I just want to point out one thing. Rejoicing to see your good order, that word there is a military term. And it carries the idea of together being lined up as a military. And coming after the same goal, together. Together. Because we worship the same God. Because we love the same God. And because we love the same, because we love the body. We're united. We're here together. And we find all things in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in the same person. That person is Jesus. And we know Him. And we follow Him. And we obey Him. We're here together. And the Apostle Paul says, this is true of you, Church of Colossae. Is that true of First Baptist Church? Is that true of you individually? As we strive together to be a body of Christ that is mature in Him. So my last question for you, and I'm done this morning. Number one. Do you know Him as Savior? If not, please talk to somebody. Please talk to me. Please talk to Mr. Leroy Straley sitting here. Please talk to Pastor Patrick. Please talk to somebody that you're comfortable with. And then after that, do you know Him? And are you getting to know Him more and more as we have this to do that? We love you. Would you please bow your heads with me and we'll close in prayer and then we'll sing as we close. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You now. We thank You for what Your Word teaches us. We thank You for just how great You are. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege to know You as Your creation. It blows me away that just the humility You have to even allow us to do that. Thank You for Your saving grace. I do pray for, I do just want to ask, You know, oh, Father, You know what's in hearts. You know if there is one in here who does not belong to You, who does not know You. And Father, I ask that You would not let that person leave without seeking someone out who can open the Scriptures, who can open Your Word, that they may know how to come to know You. Father, help us as a church to be mature in You. Help us to grow. Help us to know you more and more all the time as a body of believers, that we may be together glorifying you. We love you, Lord, and we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.